Too little, too late?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's fair to say that Congress rarely moves swiftly. Case in point, the housing market. Now that the problems have moved well beyond subprime, now that a recession is creeping toward inevitable, Congress might do something. The House reconvenes from winter break tomorrow. Danielle Carson has more from Washington.
The House and Senate have proposals to deal with the housing mess, but John Irons with the Economic Policy Institute says time is running out.
The problem is that this is spilling over to the broader economy, to all kinds of home buyers, homeowners, and it's going to have a reverberating effect throughout the economy.
Irons says proposals in Congress to let bankruptcy judges change the terms of a mortgage and to allow the Federal Housing Administration offer refinancing deals to many more mortgage holders is a start, but
that's not going to impact a big swath of the population who have gotten themselves into houses and seen the prices drop on those houses.
So what's left for Congress to do? Not much.
Put a moratorium on foreclosures to provide people with temporary assistance, or to encourage a lot of renegotiation between borrowers and lenders to make sure that people can stay in their homes.
But with unemployment climbing to 5%, home foreclosures at record highs, and housing prices dropping, some analysts say recession is unavoidable. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, there just seems to be no spark lately. Last week, the Dow lost another 1.5%. The NASDAQ fell 2.5%. The Dow begins the week at 12,606. It fell 246 points on Friday. The NASDAQ is at 2439. The S&P 500 starts off at 1401. European shares are down a small fraction so far this morning. The Asian markets fell 0.33%. Those markets are off to their worst start in a decade. One bright spot in Asia today was Taiwan. Stocks gained nearly 2% after a big election win for the Nationalist Party. These were legislative elections. The Nationalist Party is friendly to China, so this could mean some trade progress between the two countries. Bill Marcus has more from Shanghai.
The Nationalist Kuomintang is the odds-on favorite to also take Taiwan's presidency in the spring. The party supports open shipping and air lanes between Taiwan and China, unlike their opposition that had controlled the legislature for several years. Taiwan expert Shelley Rigger says opening up the straits will make moving goods and people less expensive and less time-consuming because they won't have to go through Hong Kong.
Gradually, these two societies that had been growing apart for 100 years will grow back together, but may not be such an unrealistic way to look at the very long-term future of Taiwan and mainland China.
Easier movement of goods would slash production costs and maybe even prices on the computers and TVs designed in Taiwan and assembled in China. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Last week was all about high-tech gadgets with the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. This week, you'll be hearing much ado about cars. The International Auto Show gets going in Detroit today. Last night, Toyota announced it'll have a plug-in hybrid ready to roll in 2010, just in time to compete with GM's Chevy Volt. And today, Ford unveils an SUV that's mostly recycled. The seats came from the first-class section of a passenger jet, and parts of the body were made from old soft drink bottles.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with more than 70 national patient organizations to educate and support patients and their families. Online at Medtronic.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
The bank losses from subprime are still mounting. Citigroup turns in its fourth quarter numbers tomorrow, and according to CNBC, they're going to be ugly, possibly $24 billion in write-downs. And it looks like a lot of layoffs could be coming at Citi, perhaps 10% of the company's workforce. That's about 20,000 people. Citi's cost-cutting plan might also include reducing or eliminating the dividend to shareholders.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Now, up to this point, the big Wall Street banks haven't touched their stock dividends. They've gone overseas and sold stock to raise money, but until now, they've left their dividends alone. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, why have they waited so long to do something like this?
They say that they want to help their shareholders. In the case of, say, Merrill Lynch, they sold $5.6 billion of common stock at a low price, and they're paying out $1.2 billion a year of dividends. You'd think it would make much more sense to sell less stock and cut the dividend. But at Merrill and at Morgan and at Citi, I think what they would tell you is that they're doing this to keep the share price up. But it astounds me that here is Citi, especially, which borrowed $7.5 billion of money at 11%, which is sort of expensive. And meanwhile, it's paying a $10.8 billion a year dividend. You'd think they'd be a lot better off just cutting the dividend in half. But then again, I guess I'm not astute enough to understand the finances of Citi, unlike, say, the previous people who were there and lost their jobs.
Well, do you think this has anything to do with the fact that Citi and Merrill and Morgan Stanley have all reached out to Middle Eastern governments, China and Singapore, and those deals are kind of bad for the existing shareholders? Do you think by not cutting the dividend, they're placating those shareholders?
I think they're trying to placate the shareholders. And the reason that all of these places are selling stock at relatively low prices is they feel they don't have a choice and they need to have the money. They're raising the money while they can get it, and it's just very expensive. But it's the old story. The existing shareholders are better off owning 95% of something and selling 5% cheap than taking the risk of owning 100% of something that really falls in price.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.